Hello, everyone. Hey, this is Sue Marks reading today from the Catholic Telegraph, June 2019. Being pro-life, the growing threats to religious freedom. Being pro-life, this is by Bob Rieselbacher. Every week during the harvest season, Steve and Bridget would participate in their local farmers market. Selling their organic fruits and advertising their farms, other family fun activities was a growing part of their business. One day, a question came up on their public Facebook page concerning their religious beliefs. They responded that they believe in the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. The city of East Lansing saw that post and prohibited the couple from participating in the farmer's market. Steve and Bridget own a family farm that has been in his family for decades. Now they are being denied the right to participate in the marketplace because of a religious belief, the freedom of which they both devoted their lives to defending by serving in the military during the early years of their marriage. Steve and Bridget have never refused to serve anyone based on beliefs or lifestyle. They even have employees who do not subscribe to their beliefs on marriage. They simply want to participate in the public marketplace without having to renounce their personally held beliefs on marriage. I spoke with Hillary Burns, Director of Religious Liberty and Associate General Counsel at the USCCB. She shared that we face many real challenges today in the United States. We have seen a number of incidents, she said, where people have been coerced into to participate in abortion or declare alternative views on marriage just to continue working in their profession. While people may not be facing death, people are in danger of losing their jobs or their livelihood. Kathy DiCarlo is a nurse who gave written notice to her employer before being hired that she would not be willing to assist in an abortion. 5 years later, she was forced to participate in an abortion at 22 weeks under threat of losing her job and her nursing license. Burns tells us that Kathy's story inspired other pro-life nurses to come forward and share similar stories. Burns says that since the civil redefinition of marriage a few years ago, there has been a significant rise in laws designed to protect people with sexual orientation and gender identity issues. These laws, however, have sometimes had the effect of coercing especially small businesses to participate in celebrations that go against their religious beliefs. While churches are typically exempt from issues like this, a church cannot be forced to host a same-sex wedding, and a privately owned bed and breakfast or hall can often be affected. Adoption and foster care are other issues. Catholic Charities has been forced out of the adoption and foster care business in states like Illinois, Massachusetts, California, and others because they decline in conscience to place children in same-sex homes. Burns also spoke of people being questioned on their suitability for public office and judicial appointments because of their Catholic faith or membership in Knights of Columbus. How do we get involved? If you want to directly help people like Kathy, Steve, and Bridget, you can donate to Alliance Defending Freedom. Their website, www.AFLEGAL.org. The ADF offers legal services in the field of religious freedom or sanctity of life for them and others like them, even pro bono if necessary. If you want to help people suffering harsh religious persecution internationally, you can donate to organizations like the Knights of Columbus, Aid to the Church in Need, or Catholic Relief Services. More than anything, we just need to be aware of what is going on right under our noses. Go to the USCCB website, which is www.uscb.org/freedom to read about current issues, sign up for a monthly newsletter, or receive text alerts on when to contact your representatives about upcoming legislative votes. Also note that June 22 through 29 is Religious Freedom Week. Sign up on the USCCB website for newsletters or text FREEDOM to 84576 to join Catholics across the country during a week of prayer for religious freedom. Let us join together in standing up for what we hold dear. Support our fellow citizens who are being forced out of their livelihoods due to religious convictions on life and marriage, and help convert a world that is trying to drown out our voices in the name of tolerance. In bold letters, this is not the end of the story. Please watch the full interview with Hillary, Kathy, Steve, and Bridget, or you can listen to the podcast at www.catholiccincinnati.org/being-pro-life. There's just a photo here. Sukasa holds 20th annual awards dinner. Several pictures. And the main picture is people in native dress. Very festive dresses. Okay. By John Stegeman, Bishop Stika, that's Stika, ordains two in Cincinnati. Most but not all ordinations to the priesthood in this archdiocese take place at the Cathedral of St. Peter in Chains. On April 27th, just weeks before a near-record-sized group of men to be ordained downtown by Archbishop Dennis M. Schnur, two Glenmary Home missioners joined the ranks of the Presbyterate when they were ordained at St. John Newman Catholic Church in Fairfield. Diocese of Knoxville Bishop Richard F. Stika was the ordaining bishop. Fathers Charles Akech and Richard Toboso were the ordained. The new priests are members of Glenmary Home Missioners, a Catholic society of priests and brothers that serves parts of Appalachia and the South where the church is not yet well established. The society operates 10 missions throughout Tennessee, North Carolina, and Georgia. Glenmary has been headquartered in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati since its founding in 1939. During his homily, Bishop Stika spoke to the ordinance and the faithful, exhorting them to help each other. In the name of the people of God, you are now called to serve, teach us, witness to us, help us to believe deeper and deeper, he said. And to the people of God, pray for these, your brothers, that they might be successful. Success as a priest means to grow in holiness and maybe one day become a saint. The newly ordained priests have come a long way to serve in the United States home mission field. Father Akech and Father Toboso are both from Kenya. Father Akech is from Kisumu, Kenya, where he learned to value community life from living with his parents and seven siblings. He attended Mass regularly with his grandmother, whose faith served as a strong example. After training for some years with another Catholic community, he found a passion for Glenmary's way of missionary life and started over, desiring to serve the people of the rural South and Appalachia in the United States. Father Toboso grew up in a strong Catholic family in Kakamega, Kenya. He is the fourth of eight children. His mother provided a constant example. The family valued community prayer, and his brother introduced him to altar serving. As a young boy, he looked up to a missionary priest from Ireland who served in Kakamega. Despite the struggles of missionaries, the priest was a role model, in part inspiring him to pursue missionary life. To learn more about the Glenmary Home Missioners, visit glenmary.org. New assignments for Archdiocese priests. Effective February 4th, 2019, Father Thomas Ray as part-time priest chaplain at Bethesda North Hospital. Effective April 1st, 2019, Father Philip Seher, S-E-H-E-R, as parochial administrator of St. Simon Parish in Cincinnati through June 30th, 2019. Father James Mead, as parochial administrator of St. Aloysius on the Ohio Parish, Cincinnati, through June 30th, 2019. effective July 1, 2019. Father David Dosick, as pastor of Visitation Parish in Eaton, St. John the Evangelist Parish in New Paris, and St. Mary Parish in Camden. Father James Romanello, as pastor of St. Henry Parish in Dayton, and Our Lady of Good Hope Parish in Miamisburg. Jesuit Father Eric Sundrup, as pastor of St. Robert Bellarmine Parish in Cincinnati, Retirements from active ministry, effective March 31, 2019, Father Richard Dressman, as pastor of St. Simon Parish in Cincinnati and St. Aloysius on the Ohio Parish in Cincinnati. Effective July 1, 2019, Father Thomas Shearer, as pastor of St. Henry Parish in Dayton and Our Lady of Good Hope Parish in Miamisburg. Father Raymond Kellerman, as pastor of Holy Trinity Parish in Norwood. Father Timothy Bunch, as pastor of St. John the Evangelist Parish in Deer Park and St. Xavier Parish in Sycamore Township. And finally, Father Hans Gruenbauer, as priest chaplain, UC Medical Center in Cincinnati. I'm just going to go ahead and read the, there are just two festivals, the weekend of July 12, 13, and 14. They are St. John the Baptist Family Fun Festival in Tip City, Friday, July 12, 5 to 11 p.m., Saturday the 13th, 3 to 11 p.m., the address, 753 South Hyatt Street in Tip City, Ohio, and then St. Thomas More in Withamsville, Friday, July 12, 6 to midnight, Saturday, July 13, 5 to p.m. to midnight, Sunday, July 14, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., located 800 Ohio Pike in Cincinnati, 45245. And obituaries, Father Angelo Caserta. A mass of Christian burial for Father Angelo Caserta was celebrated May 21st at St. Boniface Church in Piqua. Archbishop Dennis M. Schnoor presided. Father Caserta, 100, died May 12th. He was the oldest surviving priest in the Archdiocese. A native of Piqua, Father Caserta attended Piqua Catholic schools and graduated from Piqua Catholic High School in May of 1936. Upon graduation, he entered St. Gregory Seminary and was ordained from Mount St. Mary Seminary on February 24, 1945. His first assignment was as associate pastor at St. Aloysius Gonzaga in Bridgetown, during which time he also served on the faculty at Elder High School. He was sent to Rome, where he received his doctorate in sacred theology from the Angelicum and pursued other graduate studies at Xavier University, where he received a master's degree in education. He served as academic dean and vice-rector at St. Gregory Seminary and later as treasurer and dean of student affairs at Mount St. Mary Seminary. On June 9, 1970, he became pastor of St. Lawrence Church and School in Cincinnati, where he served for 14 years. Father Caserta was then assigned to serve as pastor of his beloved home parish of St. Boniface Church and School. August 7, 1984, and retiring August 8, 1993, after 9 years. He had continued to assist with pastoral duties at St. Boniface and St. Mary Parishes since his retirement. He is survived by a sister, Amelia Gillis, and two brothers, Father Charles Caserta and William Caserta. Interment was in Forest Hill Cemetery in Piqua. Father Cyprian Behrens, a mass of Christian burial for Franciscan Father Cyprian Behrens, was celebrated May 17th at St. Paul's Archbishop Leibold home. Father Behrens, 95, died May 13th after 76 years as a Franciscan friar. A Cincinnati native, Father Behrens attended high school at Purcell, Roger Bacon, and St. Francis Seminary and continued his education at Duns Scotus College in Southfield, Michigan. After ordination in 1951, Father Behrens was assistant pastor at parishes in Bloomington, Streator, and Peoria, Illinois. In 1957, he was called to Rome as assistant treasurer and secretary at the Friars General Curia. Returning to the United States in 1960, he then served as novice master at St. Anthony in Mount Airy and worked with brothers in formation at Duns Scotus. Again assigned to Rome, he was general treasurer at the Curia from 1963 through 1967. From there, Father Behrens was director of the printery at St. Bonaventure College in Florence, Italy, treasurer and teacher at St. Leonard College in Dayton, and director of communications for St. John the Baptist Province in Cincinnati. He returned to Rome once more in 1986 as a confessor for the Basilica of St. John Lateran. His last parish assignment as pastor of St. Paul the Apostle Parish took him to Michigan's Upper Peninsula from 1992 through 2001. He moved to the Leibold home in 2003, serving the community as chaplain until he retired in 2012. Interment was in the St. Mary Cemetery in St. Bernard. Sister Janet Gildea. A Mass of Christian Burial for Sister of Charity of Cincinnati, Janet Gildea, was celebrated May 10th at the Mother House Chapel. Sister Janet, 62, died April 4th. She was a Sister of Charity for 36 years. A native of Fort Wayne, Sister Janet earned a bachelor's degree in biology from the College of Mount St. Joseph in 1978 and graduated from Indiana University School of Medicine in 1982. Sister Janet's ministries included 35 years of medical service to the poor in Kentucky, New Mexico, Texas, and a colonia in Anapra, Mexico. She began her family practice residency in 1982 at St. Elizabeth Medical Center in Covington, Kentucky. She joined the Sisters of Charity vocation team, and in 2007, she was instrumental in the development of a vocation video to expand outreach. She gave much of her energy to encouraging vocations, serving as director of initial formation for her congregation. She also served as the El Paso Diocesan Liaison for Women Religious. I'm so sorry. She also served as the El Paso Diocesan Liaison for Women Religious. Sister Janet is survived by her father, Eugene Bud Gildea, her brothers, Steve and John, and sisters Jane Gildea, Ellen Douglas, and Anne Van Fletteren. Interment was in the Sisters of Charity Cemetery. Sister Raphael Rosemary Gruder. A memorial mass for Ursuline Sister Raphael Gruder was celebrated April 27th at Sacred Heart Chapel in St. Martin. Sister Raphael, 92, died April 12th. She was a member of the Ursulines of Brown County for 75 years. Sister Raphael's primary ministry was as the nurse for her community, as well as the students at the School of the Brown County Ursulines, where she also taught biology. She served in congregational leadership and was maintenance director for Ursuline Center for several years. She is survived by her brother, Gerald Gruder. Sister Raphael donated her body to science. Sister Luana Orth. A Mass of Christian Burial for Sister of Notre Dame de Namur, Luana Orth, was celebrated April 17th at St. Julie Chapel at the Mount Notre Dame Convent in Cincinnati. Sister Luana, 91, died April 13th. She was in her 71st year of religious life. A native of Chicago, Sister Luana attended Notre Dame High School for Girls, where she was educated by the Sisters of Notre Dame Dina Moore. She entered religious life at Mount Notre Dame and taught for 42 years in elementary and high schools in Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton, and Chicago. Her love of history and her interest in St. Julie, as well as the beginnings of the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur, prepared her to serve as the archivist for her congregation for the next 20 years. After health issues made it necessary for her to retire in 2013, Sister Luana began her ministry of prayer and continued to work as a freelance archivist. Sister Luana is survived by her brother, Leroy. Interment was in the Convent Cemetery. And finally, Sister Bernice Krieg, K-R-I-E-G. Memorial Mass, her precious blood sister, Bernice Krieg, was celebrated May 8th at the Salem Heights Chapel in Dayton. Sister Bernice died at the Maria Joseph Center on May 5th. She had been a sister of the precious blood for 85 years. A native of Fort Recovery, Sister Bernice was an educator for 43 years, having taught in elementary schools and high schools in Ohio at Columbus Grove, Miamisburg, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Salina, Maria Stein, Wapakoneta, Russia, and the Dayton areas. She also taught in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In 1983, she retired and volunteered as postmistress for 13 years at the Maria Joseph Center and later did volunteer services at Precious Blood Parish. The Athenaeum hosts panel discussion on sacred music by Eileen Connolly, OSU. On May 14th, the Athenaeum of Ohio hosted a panel discussion on sacred music led by James McMillan, a world-renowned Scottish composer and conductor whose Catholic faith has inspired many of his works. McMillan was in Cincinnati to conduct his work for chorus and strings, Seven Last Words from the Cross, with the May Festival Chorus and Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. The discussion focused on the Church's treasury of sacred music and its relationship with the worldwide culture of the 21st century. Panelists included Mary Catherine Levery, Director of Music at the Athenaeum, Catherine Fishlock, Director of Music at St. Gertrude Parish in Madeira, Brother Brent Stahl, Assistant Prefect of Sacred Music at the Cincinnati Oratory, and Jeff Zalat, the Conway Chair in Catholic Studies at the University of Cincinnati. Addressing those gathered at the Bartlett Pastoral Center, McMillan noted that sacred music is not just music for the liturgy, but it is also encountered and much appreciated in concert halls. The world of people who love classical music exists in a neutral space theologically and spiritually, he said. There is a gift from the Catholic Church to the world through its music, and the search for the sacred is very much alive in the world today. McMillan said that he has noticed that the works of many composers over the past 100 years have been deeply rooted in religion. He cited the opera St. Francis of Assisi by Oliver Messiaen, which reflects the French composer's devout Catholicism, as one example. He also mentioned Dialogues of the Carmelites by Francis Poulenc, an opera which tells a fictionalized version of a group of Carmelite nuns who, in 1794, during the closing days of the Reign of Terror during the French Revolution, were guillotined in Paris for refusing to renounce their vocation. It's a Catholic story of heroism and faith that speaks to the modern world, McMillan said. He emphasized that in the concert world, the abstract nature of music takes over, and that the priority for writing music for liturgy is very different because it carries the thoughts and prayers of people of God to the altar of God, a very sacred place. Regarding what constitutes beauty, McMillan drew on St. Pope John Paul II's letter to artists, which acknowledges that they will have to engage with evil to absorb it and make it beautiful again. Lovery mentioned the darker music of the church and the image of the crucifix as a follow-up. "Is it really beautiful?" she asked. "It's the image of a scourged, brutalized man, yet whose wounds become the splendor through which we experience the depth to which God has come to save us." Music is the most spiritual of the arts, McMillan opined, because it reaches beyond ourselves and leads us to the possibility of being transformed. Music has an authority that cannot be hurried. When you open yourself up to music, you open yourself up to how you can change your relationships and the world. During the question and answer period following the panel discussion, a seminarian sought advice on how priests can work with parish staff to bring sacred and beautiful music to their congregations. Music has to be part of the liturgy, just not added on. It needs to serve the word, McMillan said. Be collaborative and remember that you're doing something special for God. Amen, amen. That's all the time we have today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please have a wonderful day, a wonderful holiday, 4th of July. Be safe, and we'll speak again soon. It's Sue Marks for the Catholic Telegraph. Bye-bye.